There are outlines on the back. The chair, as you walk in, you have to trip over.
There are.
It's a one-pager, front and back. And I know it's snack week, so I may not see anybody for a while. So we could. But we were just getting into the topic last week because we did a review and then we started talking about is there such thing as Christian dating, or is there teaching in Scripture on dating, what we're supposed to do at that time of our life and in establishing relationships, getting to know someone. How do you go through that process? What does Scripture say about it? So that's what we're talking about. And that's right. Somebody told me, I don't need that anymore. And I said, well, you still are having kids and grandkids. Or who was it that said it? I won't reveal it. But he had three little ones, so if you can figure that out. But we left off last week with the question that Barb asked, right? Yes. Does anybody want to remember what that question was that we left off with last week?
How about them arranged marriages?
That's right.
Does Scripture teach us that parents ought to arrange the weddings, the marriages of their children?
That is a good idea.
That's right.
How's that worked out in the Danny family?
Well, we're still. It's working out perfectly, as a matter of fact. So we ought to pray. And then we'll start. We ought to. We shall pray. Lord, thank you so much for what you've done for us and worshiped already today, Lord, with this the opportunity to come and gather together and hear your word and pray and Lord, worship together. Just pray that you will continue in this time. Help us to look into your word and, Lord, give us wisdom and understanding. Give us clarity of thought and mind. And, Lord, just lead and direct in all we say. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, we were just getting into this last week, but we'd kind of left off with, is establishing relationships through dating any different than establishing any other kind of relationship? You know, are we to do anything different in that process? And I also wanted that we were kind of defining at the end of last time what dating means, and I don't think we have a definition in Scripture on what dating is. Can you think of examples of courtship or dating in Scripture? I'm not saying it has to be perfect. I'm saying, are there examples? Yeah.
It's almost always arranged. Or, I mean, think of Leah and Rachel.
Yeah. And Jacob went and worked 7 years for Rachel and got Leah, and then 7 days later married Leah and worked 7 more years to pay, married Rachel. And
but it wasn't really arranged.
No, well,
the parents sent him out and said, go find somebody.
Go find somebody in that case. And he did some things differently. He decided based on what she was doing. You know, she was a shepherdess. She was taking care of her father's flocks. She was beautiful. She was family. Back in that time, which was important. I'm not saying you should marry your family today. You're going to marry your cousin or something. But that's what, you know, they were marrying their, they were going back to their people and to continue their lines. But that's what Jacob did. That's certainly an example. Now, what did he not do? At least it's not recorded in Scripture. When he didn't pray about it, which was different than how Isaac's wife was found, because the Isaac's wife, Abraham, sent his servant right back to the same area to find Isaac a wife, Rebekah, right? And he prayed about it. He was given instructions on how to find her, and that's one of the arranged ones, the clear arranged wedding. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think it's Song of Solomon. I think that is, there's such intimacy. It has to, I interpret that, and I think everybody, when you look at the commentaries, and it's a marriage. That is, it may be a new marriage, but a husband and wife relationship. I think we look a lot of that at how a relationship should be in a marriage. How the husband should be taking care of the wife taking care of the husband, longing to see them, wanting to know how their day went. You know, there's all kinds of examples in communications between husband and wife in Song of Solomon. And we were talking about that last week, too. We were just starting to talk about the difference between, you know, a friendship, because there's certainly a lot of scripture on, you know, how we're to treat a friend, a brother, a sister in Christ, how we're to treat a husband and a wife, how we're to treat our family. So how to act in marriage. But, you know, there's also instruction on, you know, how we're to treat our friends, who we're to hang out with, who we're to be, what people are supposed to be a part of, who we're to seek a more than a friendship with. And we talked about romantic relationships being both romantic attraction and romantic intimacy, where... And you can use all kinds of different words. I just want to make sure we're using something that we all are saying the same thing. Because certainly, if you meet someone, you're single, you meet someone, you're attracted to them, you want to get to know them, that romantic attraction, there's nothing wrong with that. But then when it leads beyond that to romantic intimacy, that's where I think there's clear teaching on Scripture on what our activities should and shouldn't be. And also, because that... when it becomes romantic intimacy, something more than just attraction, you know, that's when it starts to affect the heart. And so we want to look at that. So let's look at a few scriptures. We talked about last week really was in any relationship, you know, the dating relationship, when you're getting to know someone who may be potentially a husband or wife, you know, think about, first of all, what is your purpose in life? And we've talked about that in our different lessons on the Christian family. And what is our purpose in life? Our purpose in life is to glorify God, right? We're supposed to be glorifying God and worship Him, enjoy Him forever. That is our most important relationship. And then from that, establishing other relationships without foundation. And how we should approach any decision in life through prayer. So clearly, our dating relationships, those who are single and seeking a relationship that's more than just friendship, ought to be approached in prayer as a foundation. And we see over and over examples in Scripture of how that took place. When there was prayer that preceded action, God was involved and God was directing. And we looked at Matthew 7, where it says, "Ask, it will be given you, seek, and you will find, knock will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives, who seeks finds, who knocks it will be opened." And then Proverbs 3:5-6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." And James 1:5-6, "If you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously and without reproach." And then the last thing, Philippians, that's where we had left off. Philippians 4:6-9 tells us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the God of peace, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there is any excellent and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Why do I want to use that scripture in this discussion on dating or establishing relationships that are more than friendship? Why would I want to use that scripture from Philippians? Right. In what way? Right. 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 Right, right. Should the dating relationship, I mean, that. So what should be the purpose of dating?
Get to know someone.
Get to know someone. Why would you want to know someone? And
so you can get married.
So you can get married. Well, I mean, think of the impact of marriage. Is marriage going to affect you financially?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Is marriage going to affect you physically? Sure. Is marriage going to affect you emotionally? Is it going to affect you spiritually? You know, and it can be positive or negative. So as you get to know someone, you know, getting to know where their heart is on, I think most importantly, spiritual matters, are they a believer? Because if you are getting to know someone through hanging out with them or through group activities or doing being where they are, participating in activities where they're there or with them, the goal of knowing, being able to know their heart, who they are, the first thing or one of the first things that ought to be established is, are they a believer? Because if they're not a believer, you know, moving on to further relationship and further, you know, separating and being just a couple becomes to affect your heart. If you start giving your heart to someone who's not a believer, it can lead to, you know, well, then it can lead to confusion and further establishing that relationship where they end up getting married, where clearly there's teaching in Scripture that you should not marry, a believer should not marry an unbeliever because of the, you think about affecting you spiritually. If you're marrying, if you are serving the body, serving Christ, and marrying an unbeliever, that's going to be a direct impact on your ability to serve Christ. You know, they're not going to want to have that. They're not going to want to have you going and taking your time away from them to go serve or go be a part of the body of Christ. It's going to be that constant detraction. That's one of the main reasons, in addition, because Scripture teaches it, that you should marry a believer, that you shouldn't be unequally yoked. But so the purpose of dating, getting to know someone, so how do you get to know someone? How do you get to know that person? So then the next question is, what activities should you participate if you're in dating? Is there teaching in Scripture on that?
Skydiving.
That's right. You've just ruled out two-thirds of the field, right? So, yeah. I heard one father who's daughter had gotten no one in his room, no one you guys know had gotten a piercing, and he goes, you just ruled out two-thirds of the field of prospective husbands. But you know, it's just the idea of getting to know someone. What do they enjoy doing? What is their heart drawn to? Is it something that if you're feeling called by God to serve in one area and this person is not, is that a compatible, even if they're believers? But also getting to know them, you know, how do they act towards you? How do they treat you? When you look at the teaching in Scripture on how a husband is to treat his wife, we're going to close with this if we get to it today. with Ephesians 5, which we've already talked about. You know, we know how a husband is to treat his wife. Husbands are to love their wives and basically a sacrificial love where they give themselves for her sanctification, for her setting apart in holiness. Is the person that you're dating, if it's, you know, a girl dating a guy, is that guy treating you already the way a husband ought to treat his wife, that is, caring for you, or is he critical of you, even if a joking manner, putting you down? You know, because you see kids who do this where, you know, they are belittling them. You know, I know when I was in high school, you know, some guys thought it was funny to kind of put themselves in a better place by belittling their girlfriend. And so the thing is, if you start doing that, if you have that in a relationship as a dating, what's it going to be like in marriage? Or, you know, is she, you know, look at the qualities of a wife to her husband. You know, is the girl you're dating exhibiting signs of that, or is her heart different than that? We're going to look at some of those scriptures of what kind of person you ought to be hanging out with. But 2 Corinthians 6:14, we've already talked about, do not be unequally yoked. But what about 1 Corinthians 15:33? Can somebody look that up real quick? 1 Corinthians 15:33. I'm making you work today because I don't have all the scriptures in the outline. So those of you with phones or... 1 Corinthians 15:33. I'm going to ask if you've ever knew this was in Scripture. It is in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 15, why don't you read 15:33?
Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals.
Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Is that how? How does it go?
That's it.
Bad company ruins good morals. What does that mean? I mean, you know, it's a question of who we should be hanging out with. You know, are we hanging out with the people whose morals are not good and whose activities are not good? You know, that kind of company can ruin someone who is trying to strive for, you know, live life of Christ. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a principle that really applies to forming a relationship. It really applies to everything in life. I mean, it's the biblical principle. If you're not actively whole, if you're not actively seeking God, you're going to be falling back. And the same in relationships. If you are not pursuing God in a relationship, that relationship will fall into decay.
Right.
Right.
Now, does that mean when you first go out for coffee or you go out for dinner with somebody you're getting to know, you should tell them we have to have devotions first?
Not a bad idea. Well, we're encouraged to give one another hymns and songs.
Encouragement.
And spiritual songs. I mean, there's nothing wrong with lacing your speech with scripture. Nothing better to do.
Right.
You know, it'd be ultra cheesy. You gotta be cool and smooth about it if you're a guy. You gotta, you know, make it natural. You know, you gotta appeal to the good side of the world.
Sorry.
You gotta
Mr. Natural speaking.
you gotta make it work, all right?
That's right. Well, it's like
I was gonna say
it. Well, no, I'm saying it kiddingly, but there's a verse where that we were looking at in small group this week where we were looking at Jesus' truthfulness and his recognizing other people who were without deceit. He saw Nathaniel who initially had said to, was it Peter or Philip? Philip came to Nathaniel and said, we found the Messiah. Come and hear him. And the Jesus of Nazareth. And he goes, what can come out of Nazareth? Nothing good comes out of Nazareth. And when Jesus saw him, he goes, here's a man, an Israelite without deceit. He says it like it is. You know, he says what's on his heart. He says it plainly. You know, that's Pete. He says things without, he says it. If it's on his heart, he says it. He doesn't hold things back. I'm saying I respect that. That is, you know, you do want someone who will speak the truth, but yeah, obviously you need to speak the truth in love. But if you want to hear, you know, false platitudes, and if you start to see that in a dating relationship and you realize it's all fluff and no reality, you need to see that as a danger sign. You want someone who you can get to know truthfully and not putting on a mask. Yes. Right. Well, should you ever go on a date with someone you don't know as a believer? And here's the question of what is a date? You know, I'm saying you don't know someone, you've been asked out, you don't know them, it's a activity that's not inappropriate, you know, yeah. Yeah, it's been said, you know, guys are not your friends, is what I've always told young girls. but you know, just as a matter of warning, you know, if they're wanting to hang out with you by yourself and get to know you better and be, you know, set apart, you know, don't think of them as just a friend. But anyway, I digress. Yes, what were you going to say? Yeah, but I do think sometimes we set up, and I'm not disagreeing with you, but I think sometimes the church can set up unrealistic hurdles for kids in their dating relationships that they, you know, must do 1, 2, and 3 before you even consider going out for coffee to find out anything about this person, or going out to dinner to find anything about this person. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when God created Adam and Eve, he created Eve because Adam needed a helper. So he's created us in general with the need for a mate. And he's given us sex drive, both male and female. And there's a point in a relationship, if you're a young person, where that sex drive thing won't play. Until a certain point, then it may start playing when that attraction starts happening and things like that. And I think that's the context that young people have to, and we have to help them as parents, to see, you know, are you being physically attracted to that person? Now the rules should change. And you should be, well, here, but we should really acknowledge that that's going on.
Right.
So I think we have a tendency sometimes to suppress that.
Yeah.
And so that's a
Right. True. But you don't know if the other has the traction. You don't, like Ron was saying, it may be different. You have to recognize that the other may be feeling differently or see it, see the connection or the activity differently than you do. And be at least on your guard and aware of that. And so, and not participate in activities that would lead them to believe that before that connection or before it was appropriate. So this idea of who our friends are, who we, that's one way to establish, you know, find out more about people. Yes, you need to be better in my line of sight. I thought about that.
Hurdles.
Yeah, so Tyler's saying in some cases what he's heard taught is we shouldn't even hang out with someone if you don't think you're going to marry them, that you don't go off for coffee, dinner, if you don't think you'd realistically marry them. How would you know that until you get to know their heart a little better, until you get to know them a little better? So I think, yeah, one, yeah, you were going to, Ken. Off your dad. Right. You can be on their medical insurance till 26, that's right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's the question of we need to make sure we're defining the firm term dating. You know, how serious is that relationship getting? Is it getting such close and in some cases, you know, leading to intimacy that shouldn't be, that isn't appropriate without marriage? You know, that's sometimes with high school, that's what. Yeah. Yeah. I was looking for Carla Ball because she said something about that last week.
Yeah, because Carla and her husband met when they were really young. And Mike and I did too. We met when we were 15. And Mike asked me to marry when we were 18, and we didn't get married until we were 22. And I don't recommend that. But God does.
Let's unpack that a little bit.
She should have married me at 18.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard in temptation when you're that close and that committed to each other to, you know, resolve to be faithful to God's word until you're married in that avoiding, but you can. It can be done. And so I'm glad we're this diverse opinion, because I want to make sure we're saying we don't have a clear set of instructions on how your dating relationship should begin, how long it should be, you know, who you should go out with, which person, other than looking at Scripture and what it says about how we are to act in our Christian life and who we're to be with in our when we're married and what type of person we're to be and how we're to live in the church and society as a guide for that should guide our connections with people and how we find our, you know, a person we want to go out with or date or become more serious about that might lead to marriage. But I do think we have gotten, and there, as Tyler said, there are books that have been written on this, and there was a trend for a while of, I think there's a book, I Kiss Dating Goodbye, or and some others that confused maybe a lot of people, that maybe he wasn't saying it, I haven't talked to him who wrote it, but that led people to believe that they shouldn't, you know, there should be a clear connection that this is a person I would marry before I'd even go out with them. And I think that can be a very hard standard to hold yourself to, because how can you know that? Yes. I think it varies on who you are, what it was.
Yeah, but
sure. Yeah. Well, and what Carla had said to me was her mom said, you're not going to go steady with anybody when they're 15 until I forget what age she had to be. But she goes, now we've been married 45 years. Is that right? And I said, well, did you listen to her? And she goes, no. But I do think the whole idea of, you know, getting serious with someone no matter what you're doing, no matter how you're going about getting to know people, whether you're dating many people or one, or if you've been going steady since you're 15, you know, the temptation for sin is going to be there no matter what process you go through, because we're sinners. We're all tempted to sin, and we're all led to that. So having our hearts seeking after someone who will, you know, strengthen us as opposed to weaken us. But again, I don't want to put it on the person the other person. It's up to you to live your life according to, you know, seeking God and seeking the strength against temptation. But yeah, how we go about meeting someone, I think that we need to take that out of the process and say, all right, we need to have the ability to enter into relationships as young people or as even if older. And you said something about it's harder now in society. I mean, how old were many of the men in Scripture when they got married? You know, they had established their business. They were older. Now, I think a lot of the women were very young when you look at the age difference, even maybe in Joseph and Mary. But okay, Tyler, you want to share that with the class? What's that? A lot of people live a lot longer. That's true. But But anyway, I just want to get us back to a couple of concepts as because we're going to maybe finish this up next week. But as far as who we're to hang out with, one of the other verses I put in here was Titus 3, 10 through 11. You know, there is an extreme example, but it talks about someone who stirs up division. You know, if the person you're with is a divisive person, you know, in this case, it's talking about somebody in the church, but if they stir up division, warn them once or twice, and then have nothing more to do with them. You know, recognize those signs early as you get to know someone, if they're divisive or easily angered or very jealous or very controlling or very manipulative or very abusive, even if they're slightly abusive, you know, those are warning signs to get out of that relationship. Should dating be used as an outreach ministry?
So, my best advice to give to young people who want to date is look for a good friend.
Yeah.
In that context, it's good for outreach. But if you build, if a relationship, a romantic relationship, it comes out of a friendship, it's going to be, I think it's going to be better than if you just go looking for a romantic relationship.
True. Well, and there's this thing about what Pete had mentioned, I think, too, that one of the early conversations you have with someone is, what's your foundation? What do you believe? What do you view as important in your life? And it's a natural discussion that brings up your faith. It doesn't have to be hitting them over the head, you know, give them the sinner's prayer and walking them through Romans Road, you know, before you even talk to them about going out for coffee. But I think it ought to be a natural conversation you can have with them. And in that sense, yeah, it can be used as encouragement. Dee Dee, I've ignored your hand twice. Sorry. Okay, those of you who are married here, how many of you had a list?
Wow.
That's right. That's right. We learn from our mistakes. How many of us? How many? Yeah, that's right. That's a good question. How many used that list? Yeah. Yeah. All right. Next week, we're going to start the final segment on this. We're going to bring our lists and we're going to read them, okay? I'm just kidding. Please don't.
18-year-old or whatever, thinking about dating, you're making your list. Your list at 18
right.
is going to look a heck of a lot different than your list at 20 or something. No. You know?
One of Tyler's friends, it wasn't Tyler, I swear it wasn't Tyler, said, I can live with dumb, but she's got to be pretty. No, it wasn't Tyler. It wasn't Tyler. It was Pete, okay? It was Pete.
Actually, that was my list.
All right. This gets better every time. All right, there's a couple more points I want to make, but we're going to wrap up. We're done for today. So any other questions or comments or things we ought to talk about next week? Yes. Right. Sure. That's what, there ought to be a stopping point that you've established as far as your standards. I think there ought to be a point at which you say, you know, it can go to friendship and encourage and witness to them, but make it clear it's not going farther than that at some point. But that ought to be a standard in a believer's dating. And I think that's scriptural, because when you look at teaching on marriage, clearly a believer should not marry an unbeliever for many different reasons, but one is taught in scripture. But I think that's so important. If you're headed that direction, there's got to be a way you know there's a stopping point that doesn't go there. Right. Right. And so I want to look, next week we're going to talk about, you know, these ideas of when are we ready to make our lists, you know, when are we mature enough, and it's going to vary depending on who you are, and when are you capable of entering into a romantic relationship that leads to marriage, who you should look to for wisdom on these decisions as you're going through, and what does Scripture teach about that, and then we'll be finished with this topic. So let's pray, then we'll go. But thank you again for your scripture, for your word, for just teaching us, Lord, that we're to be imitators of you and start with that, Lord, and all other things can flow from that. Lord, just pray that you'll help us in our relationship with each other, Lord, with the world, our evangelism. Give those who are going out in this ministry, Lord, supply the workers for this new ministry of evangelism that's starting here in our church, and outreach to the community, and give them boldness to go. And just, Lord, thank you again for this time together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.